Father in heaven, we thank you again. Lord, I know every song been sung this morning. No one knew the message, but every song been sung this morning will set the table for the message. We thank you for that, and I pray you'd give me the ability and power and unction and anointing in such a way to be to proclaim the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to have a right of way. I pray every heart would be listening in tune with what you have to say for the glory of God. And give us power today. Give us illumination. Give us revelation. May we go back into the world with a broken heart for those who don't know Jesus as Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn first of all to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I want to read verse 11 through 13. And then we're going to John chapter 3. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it amazes me the fact that what people think today when it comes to this thing of salvation. It ought to break your heart. It's not uncommon today. It was years ago when I first got saved. Not uncommon today to start talking to someone about the Lord. And they say, well, I'm Lord, God loves me. God has done many things for me. I can tell you a lot of things God's done for me. And you say, have you been saved? Well, what does it say? I mean, have you ever been born again? Born again. I was born physically, born again. Not really. I never heard of that, or if I heard of it, I never really understood it. I don't think that means anything for me. Why? Because I don't think I'm all that bad. I believe God loves me. Satan has sent a riveted thought to people's mind that God loves them so much, no matter what they say or do or live, it doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. And we have the amazing thing about it is, now I'm sorry, I don't know what you thought about the last few days, but we've seen a fact of a man who they claim to be the vicar of Christ. Capitalized millions of people, not one time did you hear anything about Christ being the way of salvation. Not one time did you hear about his blood being shed to redeem people. Now something's wrong with a society. Now I'm going to say something, and I may not live to see it, but maybe some of you will, because if the Lord don't come for the church before I leave for here, he's coming soon. I see right now why the Antichrist is going to have such a power in such a short time, because the modern day mediums we have will exalt him to a place that everybody will fall right at his feet. Because they have no structure like we have now. See, the Holy Spirit won't be here during the tribulation period. He's going to leave. Now, he's going to be doing some work, but he won't dwell people like he does now. We have him dwelling in us who've been saved. And when the church goes out, there's a little different arrangement for those 7 years of tribulation before we come back with the Lord in at the end of the tribulation period. But we need to understand God certainly has proven that he loves the human race. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they say there's 7 billion people on the face of the earth. 7 billion people. Recently, someone made the statement, they said they thought about 2 billion of them were saved. I don't believe that. In other words, most people say they're Christian. There may be 2 billion people who say they're Christians. But it don't take long if you listen. You don't have to say nothing. If you listen and they don't begin to exalt Jesus Christ, they're not a Christian. Because that's on our heart. The Holy Spirit that dwells with you and I in our heart will not let us forget what Christ has done for us. He won't do it. That's his job, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone can talk about a relationship with God and eliminate Christ, they can't have a relationship with God like God wants to have in the age of grace. And that's to be a born-again child of God. Now, if you look with me in chapter 1, I want to read verse 11. Before I do, we'll go back and we see in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amazes me. You can't, what he's showing us here that amazes me, that first of all, he said the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word. We know this is the word logos, went through it before. This is a term that God has given as a thought or concept. It's an expression, an utterance of that thought. And here he's telling not only was the Word with God, but the Word was God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God is omnipresent, but there's no such a thing as God being with God if he's the only God. He is the only God. He's God. Amen. So we understand here, God gives us insight. He's talking about Jesus Christ is the Word. The written Word tells us about the living Word. And it's the living word he's talking about here. And he goes through and tells us about through him things were created and so forth. Verse 10, he said he was in the world. The world knew him not. He was in the world. The world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Now that gives me an understanding of the incarnation of God. He was God in the flesh. And then I see verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, no way in the world anyone be a Bible to study and not understand he's talking about Christ came through Mary, which is the genealogy of a Jew. He came to his own in fulfilling prophecy, but think about it is, he said, and his own received him not. Now, God knew that. He planned to start with the Gentiles are going to be brought into the fold. They didn't understand that. In fact, they thought Gentiles were dogs. But on the other hand, God shows prophetically that when this Savior should come, which would be the Messiah for the Jews, that he would be life. Now watch. Then he said, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to come the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Watch verse 13. Notice how God tells us something, and he shows us how we can't get it mixed up. He is saying, listen, and verse 13, which were born not of blood, talking about man's blood, not of the will of the flesh, talking about an urge of the flesh that brings about a relationship with a woman. And he says, notice again the last thing, not of the will of man. It is not something man himself determined to do because he had a relationship with an opposite sex. He said, but of God. But, three words, but of God. That means there's a birth that only God can do once we come into this world physically, and that's the only way we're going to have a relationship with God. Amen. Is through his Son. Now, Jesus goes further and tells us in John 3, and I hurry as much as I can. In John chapter 3, we know Nicodemus went to him. He said, you're a man of God. We know that. You can't do the thing except you be of God. Nicodemus recognized that. And Jesus said to him, verse 3, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, listen, folks. Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means he has no understanding about it at all in this life. Now, when Nicodemus heard that, you heard me say many times, he simply thought that he's talking about, how can this be? Can I go back to mother's womb, be born again? And Jesus came back again. He said, verily I say unto thee, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Twice he gives us something there in a few verses, letting us know there is a birth that's got to take place while you're in a physical life, since you've been born physically, that if it's not taking place, he calls it, he said, being born again. For the next verse he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I would expect that what he's already said in the first few verses. He said, I want you to know that which is born of the flesh, Nicodemus, you know, we know, is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's a higher plane than the flesh. And then notice he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God loved this world so much. It amazes me. I would say, I don't know if this is true. I just heard these statistics this week. They said, suppose there are 5 billion people on the face of the earth, if there's 2 billion people on the face of the earth that claim to be Christians, I don't know how many of those that are, and that means there's 5 billion people in the earth that don't claim to be Christians. So that means they know they're lost, or at least they not belong to God in the sense of a new birth. And a person said, if you take 5 billion people on this earth and put them on the equator and put one starting around the equator, that they would go all around the earth back again, not just one time, two times, 10 times, but 37 times at the equator. That means, folks, 5 billion people are on the road to hell. And seem we don't care. Something's wrong. Because I believe this book. I believe this book tells us that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And without him, there is no hope. I heard what this pastor in Raleigh this week, in September 23rd, 2015, lesbian pastor criticized the young lady in Kentucky and was talking about the fact that she wanted to listen to what Jesus said about the golden rule, thou shalt love the Lord thy God all thy heart, mind, soul, and so forth, and thy neighbor as thyself. And she said the neighbor should be anyone that you have, but you don't understand. God's love is greater than ours, and God's love so loved this world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that means to tell me God loved this whole world as far as an umbrella was concerned, but ladies and gentlemen, those under that love will go to hell unless they accept it. See, I come from old school years ago. Preachers preach hell a lot. You had great revivals. You had at least one or two nights a week to preach on hell. You don't hear much about hell now. Now you hear it here, but you don't hear much about hell today unless it's a term used to somebody tell someone to go there because it upset with them or something. But what I want you to understand, today we read around or remove from the Bible that which feels it's not for our day. And what's happened, we decide, I'm talking about as human beings, use the scriptures. But we decide what to practice and what not to practice ourselves, and God ought to be pleased with that. But on the other hand, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Isn't that amazing that God would warn us about that? Now, I look at what I'm seeing here, and I see Jesus is concerned. What a text that teaches about this mysterious, invisible, mystic-like birth from above that the world cannot see and refuse to see because they can't touch it tangibly. This proves that there are a considerable number of people on this earth who are God's creation but are not God's children. Most people say, I'm already a child of God. What do I need to be born again for? And that's the reason the government of our land is to the place of trying to stop anyone going and witnessing, because they also want people to think they're already children of God. But ladies and gentlemen, how can you know anything about the Bible and not realize that you're not born physically and become a child of God? You're born physically to become a creation of God through Adam. Everyone that comes from Adam comes in this world through procreation, by the hand of God through procreation, but procreation in the human race means that you are descendants of Adam, you're children of Adam, but you're not a children of God. And if he were, why would he need to be born again? Why would Jesus even talk about in John 3 being born again? Because he realized, and he came from heaven to let us know, he realized that God has purchased something for you and I that we cannot purchase for ourselves. Let me ask you something. God help me. I'm going to get away from the rest of it. Let me ask you something this morning. How much do you think you're worth? How much do I think I'm worth? You say, well, medically, probably $2 or $3. Well, how much are we worth? I know this, God said, we've seen that already in studies on Wednesday night. God said he looked from heaven, didn't see anybody good. Didn't see anybody. All have sinned and come short of the God. Everybody has turned their back on him. That's come from Adam. Why? We have the nature of Adam. We follow that nature. And we have come into this world X number of years following that nature. But ladies and gentlemen, how much are we worth? So we're not very much. And sometimes we know we are sinners, old sinners saved by grace. But I want you to know something. You and I are worth something in God's sight. Amen. You say, but preacher, if you say that, then we're all going to heaven. Oh, no, we're not. That's right. If you're not born again. Right. You say, preacher, well, I'm telling you, we know the story here, folks. But what we need to do is understand there's something God's given us to do while we're here. There may be hundreds listening by radio and hundreds listening by Ustream and others meet during the week. We have about 50 a day to visit our website. They don't understand. Somebody's got to use what we've got to get out, that God is still loving humanity. But let me tell you something, folks. God sees something in us. You know why? It dawned on me in one of the last few weeks of studying. It's amazing to me that God Almighty loves us so much that when he looked down through the ages, he did not redeem anything else that he made. He never redeemed an angel. He's never redeemed an animal. There's nothing he redeemed at all. But the Bible teaches us he loved humanity so much that he worked out a plan of salvation that they could be redeemed. Amen. He said this, I can't redeem you with silver and gold. It's corrupt. I can't redeem you with diamonds and pearls. It's corrupt. But I want you to know I can do something for you that nobody else can. I'll send my son to down on earth. He'll go and die for you. He shed his precious blood, Peter says. And when he sheds his blood, that's the only way he can wash away your sin. That's how much I love you. Don't tell me that God don't love this world. But he's also righteous. He's paid the price for us to say, oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us that we could be called sons of God. He's paid the price. And those people who don't receive him, like Jesus said when he was here, to as many as receive him once they hear the facts, become children of God. Not to receive is to be lost. And you know what? Satan has filled man's brain so much to fill his mind, he's comfortable in his eternal destiny, not knowing what lays there. And the only thing that can change that, the only thing that can change that is the fact of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the good news of God. It's got to understand what this birth is. Physical blood links people together by physical birth. Salvation links those who trust Jesus Christ for salvation through his blood as born again children of God in the spiritual birth. You think about it, God who rounded the earth in his hollow of his hand. God who set the sun to shine and the moon to shine in his own way. God who spoke and flung the stars into space. Why would he take time to talk about being born again if humanity has already been children of God by natural birth? Why would God was only going to be here in Christ for a little while. Why would he waste his time about something that had no meaning at all?
Right?
It must be important, hadn't it? It must be important. Because he spent a lot of things, time doing and working towards that goal. Go to Calvary and die. Give you 3 points if I can. First of all, there is much to consider here. Physical birth is considered an ordinary thing due to thousands of children that are born every day. Physical birth is no more really spectacular. Now for the person who has their first child, it's very spectacular. Have the second boy, it's great. Have the third one, well, have the fourth or fifth one. But what I'm saying, when it comes to spiritual birth, though, that's a spectacular thing.
Amen.
I mean, that's it. That's all there is to it. Spiritual birth is from above. It's an invisible spiritual birth. It's not a physical birth. Entirely two different things with same ingredients. Where the seed of man is physical birth, the seed of God is for the spiritual birth. By the way, this Bible has laid it out so precious in a systematic order. And I like when he told Peter, you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. You've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it an amazing thing? There are people who give great sums of money to all religious organizations in the world that teach everything in this world, thinking it's going to help them spiritually, and yet don't even see the need of giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ. As the Bible Belt used to have a tremendous thing about this, but even the Bible Belt has been changing right before our eyes in the last few years. To most people, it's a mythical birth. It's not a common birth like physical birth. It's an act of God, not of the flesh. John 1:13 tells us that we could mark that down. He said, notice again, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Bible speaks of being born of the will of the flesh. Here, there's a biological urge to every physical birth. In other words, the biological urge backs every physical birth. It's by the will of man. Here are social arrangements where people are married and get social approval. Physical birth has no particular great news except to the parents that the birth comes to. You read somebody, as far as me and I are concerned, you meet somebody in the foreign field, some person we may know, and say they've had a boy or girl. It don't really bother us much, does it? Oh, that's wonderful. That's about it. But you let a mother become a grandmother. You let a couple become a mother and dad. It means something to them, doesn't it? How many times have you been married a number of years, you know, you had three or four children, or even two or three children, and you have it, say you've been married 50 years, two or three children, you got grandchildren, all of a sudden, you have a couple get married, and they have a little baby, and they're just thrilled to, oh, they just, you say, isn't that wonderful? Just give them a little bit of time. Give them a little time, and all that will wire off, you see. We understand that physical birth is a common thing. Thousands are born every day when the people die. Here God has a record by divine inspiration in his book, a birth that has nothing to do with common biological birth. This is a birth of another level with no urge of the flesh. The new birth has no urge of the flesh. The only thing the new birth can be activated is the Holy Spirit of God drawing someone to the Lamb of God when they hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you can know then something is taking place, but it don't feel like a birth. It feels like somebody's trying to hang you. They're really trying to show you up as being a wicked person. That's what an unsaved person thinks when they hear it. They think you spent the last 2 weeks looking up things on them so you can condemn them. It's not that at all. And yet, when a person gets saved, isn't it amazing the difference? They just praise God the fact that I didn't understand what was going on. What a wonderful thing. God has delivered me now from what I couldn't deliver myself. And so we find this birth has nothing to do with the will of man nor desire of parents for children. This invisible birth is an act of God by the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God. If you look in John chapter 6 with me, verse 44, when Jesus was here, he said this, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." Now we understand, son, the script, that drawing is the Holy Spirit of God. How is that? 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel, Galatians, that Paul talks about being preached. What is the gospel? The good news. What is the good news? The good news that Jesus loved this world. Jesus came and died, paid the sin debt, rose again from the dead, took that precious blood to the throne of God when he went back to heaven. God accepted it and now offered the Holy Spirit to you and I that can come and live with us to get us home on the other side when we truly receive him after receiving the facts. Amen. And so God is setting forth something we see. Our physical birth can be touched by our senses. But the spiritual birth cannot be touched by our senses. Though they can see is what God works out of us, like he said he was going to do in Philippians 2, 12 through 13, work out of us. And then the flesh, as we bring into control through the new nature, they see that in the world. But they can't see what they, you know, physical birth comes. Those all around us can see us and touch us and hold us and weigh us and clothe us and feed us. Criticize us, talk good about it if they want to. But the invisible mystery birth has nothing to do with the flesh. This has to do with the Spirit of God. You just can't observe the spiritual birth until it begins to manifest itself through the flesh. Somebody comes in, walks down, said, "I got saved." Nobody saw nothing there except you walked down the aisle. Well, brother, I'll tell you this. This book that the Holy Spirit used to draw you for the gospel began to put in your heart here, and all of a sudden they'll see something they don't like if they're not saved until they realize you've got something they don't have. And then if they ever get what people call religion, they want what you've got. Because they know it's stand. You'll stand firm for that. God give us armor to put on. And this book will help us do that as we walk through this life. And so the invisible mysterious birth has nothing to do with the flesh at all. The world looks at this mystical birth, yet it's just as, the world looks at it as a mystical birth, but it's just as real as physical birth. It is God working in us after we've been born again. And that's the reason you see what we do. By the way, it seems like though now we are enjoying doing what we want to do within the walls, but how many of us are going out and going door to door? By the way, it's commanded for us to do that. And by the way, we've just got clearance now. We can go, they can't stop us legally. We got papers now. We fucking up. If you want to go visit and take these papers with you and show them to them, the police tell us now we're right. We have a constitutional right to go with the gospel and knock on doors unless a person got one in their sign, a sign in their yard. We've been clear about CLR. If you got a sign in your yard, that keep nobody can't go because you as a person has done that. But nobody can do it for a co-op somewhere or another for everybody. And so here, it's amazing what has slowed us down a little bit in our particular day. And so here, physical birth is too common in life. Physical birth. No one could listen to Jesus talk about physical birth. Do you know that? If Jesus began talking to Nicodemus about physical birth, he'd turn him off to start with. Why? He knew about that. At least he knew something about it. He knew for a fact it didn't come from a stump. I remember years ago, when I was a little boy, I guess people did that, thought it was funny. And I asked somebody one time at a table, "Where do I come from?" The fellow looked and said, "So you come from an old stump out there in the woods, where you came from." It kind of upset me. I never seen a stump look like I did. Amen. And then another time I asked him, he said, "Have you ever heard about the stork?" And one of my parents telling me this, it's somebody else. It shouldn't have been around me, I reckon. "Yeah, I heard about the stork. But I never seen a stork bring a baby. But I'm glad later God showed me when I learned about physical birth. It's his act through procreation. And there's a birth that comes also for the child of God." And so physical birth was of the body, not of the heart. Physical birth was into time, born into time, not into eternity, to live with God forever. Physical birth is to live forever, but the destiny is different unless you have spiritual birth. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand, because this Bible says so much about this. Amazes me, some people can find just a few verses and form a doctrine around that, and they end up not literally believing about what Jesus said, being born again, because they think physical life is what it means. And that's what, you have problems with that at the time. So spiritual birth is an inward, spiritual, mysterious, mystic birth by the Holy Spirit of God. Simple that. This invisible birth is a particular grant of God that is different to it and superior to the physical birth. Here we become born again children of God through a process of the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. So there's much to consider here. Now, number two, the liberals want to reduce everyone to the same level. Religion and irreligion, saved or lost, believed or doubters, God has been the fatherhood of all people, they say, because they're born physically. But the Bible plainly tells us that people who are creatures of God become a child of God in Jesus Christ through the spiritual birth. And most people just think that's a foolish thought. The promise is to those who trust Jesus, who receive Jesus. What Jesus is, we will one day become completely. Now what he is his divine life in our nature in us, Peter says, that is bringing out so others can see God. As we talk in words, that's the reason I'm going right now. There's three words that God's word uses about the Word of God. Three words, and all three words in sequence, get it systematically, shows you exactly what God is doing when it's used. So you can understand the sequence about how life comes and what it is and so forth. And so here, the liberals reduce it down to the same level, though. The promise is to those who trust Christ. We're not in Christ in the sense, or like him in the sense of his deity. We will never be deity. He alone deserves that. He alone is that. It's not, but we'll have rights and privileges and standing, these things. For we shall see him, he says, 1 John 3:2, as he is. He has made us like him, but we'll never be as, in the sense, completely like he is, because he's God. And we'll still be his created beings. Through physical birth and through spiritual birth to be with him forever. We'll recognize him, who he is, in those days. This inwardly. It's amazing what you see in Jesus now. You find that this is why we should act like children, not like children of the earth, not like children of this world, not like children of the flesh, not like Adam in a fallen condition, like Romans 6:12-13 teaches us. He tells us we are to be different, and we've seen that the other day. Just read two verses. He said in verse 12, "Let not sin therefore dwell, ring in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the flesh. Neither yield ye yourself as members of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. In those you're slave to who you obey. And since you're saved now, God will work through you out so the world can see who you are." You can't never make your own self look like a Christian. Because sooner or later, somebody will find a hole somewhere or another. Even using letting God reveal this, they'll find specks here and there and try to make something out of it. So liberals make capital gain out of religious for a prize. We must never let the hustle of religion, activity, or the surge of the crowd fool us into thinking that something is spiritual when it is absolutely not. We have to understand. Paul got in trouble because he knew what it was to be a Jew. He knew what it was to be a sinner of a Jew. When he got saved on the road to Damascus, he went looking Christian before then to kill them. And they were scared to death, wanting him killed after he got saved. Isn't that amazing? That's about face, isn't it? Can you wonder why anybody would look at us that way? I think we get to the point that we get so afraid we don't do nothing. People in the Bible do not come to Christ making terms with him, but actually took him on his own terms. You have to take Christ on his own terms. You can't bargain with Christ. You have to do what he says do, because that's the only way that we and I be saved. We must consider the facts. Why are so many people confused? Because they set their own gender. We was talking yesterday to some people. Margaret and I had a good day yesterday. Two places. In fact, one place in Big Luck, we ended up taking a couple and just getting praying out loud. Everybody was looking at us. We just had it. We liked it. I hope they come next week. I'm telling you what's true. I never had that happen before, Big Luck. I didn't know what I was doing until I got through praying and then looked around. And I said, my goodness. I thought he may call the law or something. But that's what that it was. That was great. It was great. But the amazing thing about it is, people are confused. Why? Talking about somebody went to a funeral and they're talking to people afterwards. And they could not see this thing about be born again. Just being born physically makes us all right before God. Folks, listen. We got to do it in a loving way. But this is just as serious today as it was in Paul's day. It's just as serious as it was in the apostles' day. It's just as serious as it was in the first church. The last thing, quickly, how do people become children of God? They believe, then receive Jesus Christ. The same way they believe the facts and trust Christ, John 1:12. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an acted event. It's not a passive or a soft affair event. This is a radical event that God does for you and I when we're born into the family of God. It means to take, not just believe or accept information for facts, to take it aggressively, act of a total personality of Jesus Christ. It's not something just head knowledge. It's something that by head knowledge works the fact that we activate upon that. And the Word of God shows us how to do that. This is with all of our heart. We're aggressively acting towards the personality that we have. This is with all of our will and affections and feelings and all of our intelligence. To as many as receive him. That's take him, took him. Actively, practically. I had a lot of facts in my mind at least three years before I got saved. But September 27, 1959, I had some facts that I acted upon in believing God was right and all of my religious jargon was wrong. Jesus Christ does not offer us salvation like it's a decoration or a corsage or some additional garb where you can violate the lordship of the Savior and put it on and put it off. That's not what it's about. It is a birth. He offers us eternal life. Amen. You know what that is? God's life. You know how we get that? His divine nature. When we get born into the family of God. Peter tells us that in 2 Peter. He tells us that. To offer anything else is to the lost world foolishness. Even preaching the gospel, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, would be foolish to those who are lost. But to us, it's what? The power of God, right? It sets our fuels on fire. This is God's divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. The question is this. Have you, and anybody listening to my radio, have you, not your brother or sister, but have you been born from above? That's what Jesus was saying in John 3. Nicodemus, you got to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Oh, that means birth. That's what I would have thought. I've heard that. I've said that 100 times in my ministry. And he said, brother, I said to you, except maybe be born of water and the Spirit. And then we go through that, what that is. It has to do with the spiritual birth. I believe it's the seed of God, but some people say it could be because he first mentioned water, because that we were born when a mother's water broke. I have no problem with that. I do know, though, he said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Question is, have you been born again? Would you stand to your feet, please? My Father, Lord, thank you for this book. There's not a one here that can open, come back and pick these verses and read these words and the best, precious, blessed Holy Spirit of God will show us truth. It amazes me, Lord, when I look at this book and how the Holy Spirit so desires to teach us if we'll spend the hours in it. And yet most people look at the Holy Spirit as some type of feeling we get when we go somewhere and there's a high meeting where the music's where it ought to be to trigger us. And we say, boy, the Holy Spirit was really high there today. Dear Father, if Jesus was right, I know he was, in John 14 and John 16, he said the Holy Spirit's going to come to tell you about me. He's going to exalt me. And I believe this book, the Word of God, as we read it, it filtrates from my brain to my mind. And as I began to put it together systematically, it recesses in my heart. And when it gets to my heart, blessed Holy Spirit has something then that can really trigger me in a direction I need to go, as long as I have health in this body. Dear Father, I thank you so much that you love the world. I thank you that you had me in mind before I was ever born, and everyone here. But my Father, I also thank you that after I was born physically, you just didn't let me ride the plank on into death. And never did hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said there is no other gospel. Now, my Father, if I understand that, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul said to Galatians, there is no other gospel. If one comes preaching you another gospel, that simply says to me, Lord, I don't know. I'm a dumb person. I don't know a whole lot. Praise God, I thank you what I do know. That says to me that if the gospel is Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and that's how I'm born into the family of God by receiving him, that says to me, then these people who say that they're children of God, been born physically, that's another gospel. It's not the right gospel. Paul said the right gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Dear Father, all we're trying to do is get people to say, just listen. Let the Holy Spirit touch your heart. Get the Bible, read the verses, because God has said it's the Word that resets in our heart that brings change. And the Holy Spirit will bless this book I have in my hand. Every time I read what he has inspired to write, I know I'm right. Now, he has to help put some things together. But there are some things I know. When Jesus said, Marmalata, I say thee, be born again. Ye must be born again. You must be born from above. Jesus, who came and died that we could be born again, worked it out, Lord, for us that we could not work out ourselves. We throw ourselves on the mercy of God's court and then say, Holy Spirit, come in and help us. The days that we live from here on out, we're going to falter. We're going to fall sometimes. But help us, Lord, have a ringing in our life of that which only God can honor. And the world will see there's something different. We're not their enemies. Lord, you know our heart. People who love you and have been saved, love this world. Love individuals in this world. There are people, Father, that go soul winning from time to time, get cussed out. Anybody else would be cussed like that would automatically be. There would be a battle going on. But God's people walk away with a prayer on their heart, and the Holy Spirit gives a peace. Instead of being hatred in their heart, you get weep for them and pray for them. Thank you for that change. We've not arrived yet. Lord, we sure are learning. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.